they're constantly asking this question, when is Bitcoin going to go up by a whole bunch that can free me enough that I'm not in it anymore? I'm still in it.
But I'm curious how you see this projecting out into the future.
Which destroys all of the other models. And an asset within a control system would have to be captured eventually. Most people are pricing Bitcoin as an asset with, when the opposite is true. Most people are pricing Bitcoin as an asset within a control system, right? And that asset within a control system would have to be captured eventually if that was the case, just like gold was captured, just like everything had been captured inside a control system where prices go up forever.
What's up, guys? 70,000 of you guys keep coming back every single month, but 71% are not subscribed. So you're going to miss out on some of the great green candle content. So make sure that you're hitting that subscribe button with the bell notification so you get notified every time I drop a video. All right, now let's get back into this great interview. Bing bong. I am back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast where I've got the man, the myth, the legend, recurring guest, Jeff Booth in the house. But Jeff, we've got a lot of craziness going on in the overall world with AI colliding heavily with Bitcoin. And all up until we've got October here in a couple days with a lot to look forward to in the next couple of months. But Jeff, I want to start it off here really quick because a lot of people are talking about the potential of the price action, the Bitcoin strategic reserve, and how we're seeing the mix of these two technologies. Now, with Bitcoin just being that finite, scarce asset, you know, how do you see this playing out over time with essentially all of these treasury companies coming on? Do you see the potential of, you know, this thing really taking off in the next few months with the amount of adoption we're seeing? Is this the suddenly aspect where we're going to see that hockey stick type of movement here right now?
So just the question alone. So if you're talking price action within the US context, potentially, I don't look at it that way. And I think you know that, right? Mm-hmm. I keep coming back to people are mismeasuring this. And completely mismeasuring this. The natural state of the free market is deflation. A decentralized decentralized secure protocol bounded by energy is measuring exactly what I just described. That protocol is measuring all prices falling forever. So your Bitcoin is increasing in value versus other things instead of in a piece of paper measuring other things. And so when you it could look the same to both people, but think about what the majority of even Bitcoiners are doing, and your question it actually says at its root. Most people are pricing Bitcoin as an asset within a control system, right? Mm-hmm. And that asset within a control system would have to be captured eventually if that was the case, just like gold was captured, just like everything's been captured inside a control system where prices go up forever, right? So what you're saying inside of that is I believe in, I'm going to get rich inside this control system by holding Bitcoin and measuring it from the perspective of the control system, say the US dollar. Right. And that might be true for a while. You could coexist in that, but it cannot, it's incompatible with the free market, because the free market prices fall because you're a part of the free market. You only choose things that give you more value. So when you say the AI intersection, AI is a massive productivity boost, which means prices should fall faster and faster and faster as jobs are removed. But that can't happen from the control system. It has to steal that productivity by manipulating money faster and faster. And when you measure from that control system, you're a part of it. You're making that happen. So that system has to, because these are fundamentally different propositions. So if it's an asset with a control system, within a control system, you might get rich in essentially something that would look like a dystopian surveillance state where you now have all the money and everybody else doesn't. Mm-hmm. A different proposition would be it's a protocol. It's an open, decentralized, secure protocol bounded by energy. And from that viewpoint, it's outside of the control system. It makes sense?
Yeah.
And both of those things, it's either one or the other. It can't be both.
Yeah, and I definitely see it trending in the one direction with AI and productivity kind of taking over. I don't know if you've seen this recent stat, but recent college graduates, specifically males, are the most unemployed that they've ever been because AI is taking a lot of those entry level jobs, you know, whether it's like an analyst or something else, because the higher ups can now be, you know, a little bit more efficient with their time. Now, with this kind of, I guess, collision happening, do you think that with the education system where it is, it almost seems like the average male or person in general coming out of college to get a well-paying job needs to be at least, quote unquote, more qualified, or something needs to collapse? I mean, we've had almost a million jobs written down in the recent revisions here, the most in history. So I'm looking at this current system and the way that AI is, you know, everybody was worried about AI taking jobs and they were always talking about the lower jobs, but it seems like those middle tier jobs are almost, you know, becoming way more efficient, where the lower kind of entry level type of positions are just making it harder and harder on that younger class. So
Yeah, Brandon, this is AI right now is the worst it will ever be. Prices of AI, the quality and quality is exploding, and the prices are falling. And prices, because prices fall to the marginal cost of production, and and some of the big LLMs that are doing everything else are being replaced by agents doing a specific task and then married with another agent doing a different specific task and another one doing a specific task, like the division of labor in humans, but like it's a different division of labor of the AIs. And the division of labor at the AIs don't require the big model. So those are literally free and they happen. And now you string together that division of labor over and over and over again. And those AIs are way better than any person. Any single thing you could teach a human, you can teach this. Better, faster, works all the time, and it's free. Then you string another agent with the other agent to do a different task and another agent, and you have a swarm of agents that is your business. So when people think that any job is safe over the long run with what's coming, they're deluding themselves, completely delusional. And but what you're describing is the fear that from the control system, you have this more and more of these people are so scared of the thing that's destroying, because the thing that's consolidating into the control system, they're voting for, they believe that there's an enemy within that and it's dividing them, and they're fighting more or saying it's Republicans, it's Democrats, it's this, it's China, it's Ukraine, and all of that makes the control system stronger. All of it. Because you're feeding your energy into a system that's exploiting you, feeding off your energy to make prices go up, when the opposite is true. That's why I keep saying over and over and over again that the natural state of the free market is deflation. What would you expect to see? You would expect to see, as the jobs got removed and you used the same technology that removed the job because you got more value, prices would fall by that amount. So you wouldn't need the job anymore. But what people keep doing is they keep on, okay, yeah, that's true. Nod your head. Yep. And then goes back and spending all of their time measuring that from the control system. And they're confused, right? Because their whole life is inside the control system and they don't know they can just move their time and energy into the new system and expand a positive force for all of humanity where 8 billion people are in service of 8 billion people. So they're stuck in the fear and the coercion and the control and the centralization and the surveillance. All of that is a derivative of breaking free markets that has to get worse and worse and worse. And everybody inside that derivative is looking for a solution from the same system creating the problem. They don't know it. So they're caught. They're caught constantly asking this question, or caught asking the same question you did. When is Bitcoin going to go up by a whole bunch that can free me enough that I'm not in it anymore? But I'm still in it, if I'm measuring from that.
So then the new measuring stick needs to be on Bitcoin opposed to the current just financial dollar realm, right?
Because the construct of the financial realm of the US dollar is a debt-based system that must have inflation. That has to, mathematically has to be. The debt is loaned into existence, and you create a structural, mathematical structure that has to fight against the free market. First, you have to regulate. Then creates monopolies, then creates more. And then government gets bigger the entire time because it has to keep on creating more money mathematically, or deflation collapses that system to zero. It can't allow the free market because the free market is deflationary. And what you're doing with all of your actions, what you're doing on Riverside right now, touching a whole bunch of other people, you wouldn't use Riverside unless it was providing you more value, and people wouldn't be watching this unless it was providing them more value. The natural state of the free market is you can't get paid more unless you provide more value than other people. But that's a complete brain break from the world we live in, right? And measure everything from. And so, yes, Bitcoin has to be, it's either a protocol, it's being used as all money is an abstract concept for our time. So for our trade between people. So if you take that abstract concept and you manipulate that abstract concept, you have to manipulate our time. And if people are measuring from that concept of they're manipulating their time, thinking they're getting rich, they're inside the system still in a zero-sum game that has to get worse. They're contributing to the world they fear most, and they think it's somebody else, but it's them. So why this is so hard to see, it's so easy to believe in your own nonsense. When something matches your belief of the world, a perceived reality of the world, it's easier to attach your beliefs onto that than something that would be new and challenging your cognitive dissonance. All of the things you formerly believed were true that have to change because something imposed a new objective reality. That's what's happening in Bitcoin. You have a new objective reality, a decentralized, secure protocol bounded by energy that is imposing a new discipline. But people are still measuring it from their own, through their perceived reality, and trying to mesh these two thoughts together in their brain. So it would be natural for them to believe, because they've always seen prices go up, and it would be an asset. Now I have a good asset or a good trade. It would be easy. It would be way easier to say that's what's happening, and it would feed back, than the natural state of the free market is deflation, because we've never seen that reality.
Yeah, and that's always interesting because, you know, of course, you've got the classic, like, how much Bitcoin do you need to hold over time? But with this deflationary, cycle that you're talking about now, it seems like we're kind of like having a cross of the worlds right now with the deflationary aspect of Bitcoin. Obviously, it's going up in the fiat terms. But if you look at all assets, housing, you know, even retirement accounts now can now hold Bitcoin. But the fiat, you know, it's just accelerating so much. how do you view the collision of these two worlds? Does the fiat system need to have an epic collapse in order for us to get to that hyper Bitcoinized world and for us to all convert?
We wouldn't let it happen. So let's just, so no government in history, going back to Rome, right, has ever allowed the free market to work for a long time, because if you allow the free market to work, which is deflationary, and all of the credit, which is the basis of the system, all of the credit fails, as does the basis of the system of living for everybody. So you wouldn't allow that to happen. You would vote you'd rise on the streets, you'd march down the streets, and you'd vote in some dictator who would print money and steal your individual rights and freedoms to save you, because they could save you by printing money. So we don't see our own agency. That's the problem. And so because of that, we think it's somebody else, but it's us acting within that system, just in perfect, what would be perfectly normal, trying to solve our own problems from that system. And there is no way to solve the credit-based system from the credit-based system. It's impossible, right? Because that system has to, objectively, mathematically, it has to steal the productivity from the free market and change what was a free market into a nonsense control crony capitalism socialism. It has to be one of the other, and it has to get worse and worse and worse. And from that new system, all of the people's belief inside that system thinks there's somebody else that's the problem, and they don't want to say that it's them, when they could just move their time and energy into a true free market. They stay there. So what does that say about us? It doesn't say anything about Bitcoin. Says something about us. And that's what we're talking about right now is probably where I spent the most time trying to think of where Bitcoin's vulnerabilities are, because I knew it would be us that would be the vulnerabilities from that control system. It would be our inability to see it was us and it was our change, and then move our time and energy to the new system to be able to expand the new system. And every single human would have to go through that process, and the cognitive dissonance of going through that process, to choose which version of reality did they want to live in. Control system, the surveillance state, or one that brings truth, hope, and abundance to 8 billion people.
What if I told you you never had to sell your Bitcoin? Instead, you can borrow against it with Salt Lending. Why give up your hard-earned Bitcoin when you can unlock its value without letting it go? With Salt, you get secure Bitcoin collateralized loans with no credit checks, no prepayment fees, and best of all, no rehypothecation. Salt has had zero customer collateral losses since it launched. Salt was the first platform to offer Bitcoin collateralized loans, starting way back in 2016. Today, they offer tailored options for both individuals and businesses. And now, introducing Salt Shield, the no liquidation solution. No forced liquidations during the lifetime of your loan when you're enrolled with Salt Shield. This just launched at the Bitcoin conference in Las Vegas, and it is next level peace of mind. For Green Candle listeners only, head to saltlending.com/green-candle for this exclusive offer for your Bitcoin collateralized loan. You can get cash for your Bitcoin today. Salt Lending, secure, trusted, proven.
And it's a choice every single person is going to have to make over time. But I don't think there's going to be an epic collapse or reset of the system, unless, like, there could be global war that would create that, and that's probably a high probability out of that. How do you reduce that probability? How do you increase the probability of something different happening? You spend more time in the emergent system that's healing the other system. And every single person has that choice.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, every person that you talk to, even just in the normie world, it seems like everybody's starting to lose more and more faith by the day of the current system. So it almost seems like, you know, we're getting in onboarding more Bitcoiners by the day. And, you know, this is starting to accelerate just adoption in general, especially, you know, when we're seeing the treasury companies, you know, now you're going to have the finance bros, like, really just look at Bitcoin as an asset and dive into it a little bit more. And I think once you get that initial touch point and start diving into Bitcoin, that's where we start to see that these free markets really start to you know, accelerate and start to take over and swallow up the current system. Now, when we're seeing the massive amounts of adoption from these treasury companies, is this just I guess a part of it? Or do you think that this takes away from, you know, essentially the free market, so to speak? Because, you know, we have essentially a lot of zombie companies or people just utilizing, you know, debt to buy up Bitcoin at this point, hoping that the number goes up. But is that essentially just missing the whole point?
Yeah, so it is missing the whole point. Now, I'm not saying anything against treasury companies. There's some really great companies in there. MicroStrategy created a really interesting, using Pierre Rochard's essentially hack of the existing system. I think they've done a good job. Metaplan has done a good job, and some others. So I have nothing against that idea. But it's a free market idea. What they're doing is levering their balance sheet to acquire more Bitcoin, and if they don't get flushed out on an epic drawdown, right, then they could do that for a long time. I personally think, though, that over time, what you're going to see is a transition from that model to cash flows in Bitcoin. And companies that are accepting Bitcoin, because today's trade, every single company has to essentially pay 2.5% rent seeking fee to Visa or MasterCard or a bank to accept payments in a currency that's losing value. And objectively, that makes no sense when there's a protocol that they can accept money that has no fees or very minimal fees in a currency that's increasing in value. So you're going to see this switch from the market. The free market is going to drive that. And where would it drive it first? It would drive it in, I use 2.5 to 3%, because that would be US where I am now, or Canada. But in countries where it's 7.5 to 10%, and their currency is losing money faster, you'd expect to see it there first, which is exactly what you're saying. So you have this emergent new free market that those businesses that accept Bitcoin and transition to this and then hold Bitcoin, and they will be able to offer more value than the businesses that don't. And the users will go to the companies that offer more value. And those businesses will also integrate AI, and the users will use those businesses that use AI, because if they don't, they won't be businesses anymore. So we are so crazy early in what we're talking about, and most people still today think their only way to play that exposure is to play in a derivative instrument of a company holding Bitcoin instead of them. And that applies more risk, right? So you're taking additional risk by not holding in self-custody on the belief somebody is going to hold it better for you.
Seems like Bitcoin is essentially revolutionizing finance, to say the very least. I mean, on this whole note, you know, we're seeing nearly 200 publicly traded companies now with Bitcoin on the balance sheet. Some have good underlying businesses, but it seems like, you know, as you're describing all of this, is this going to change the way that Bitcoin is or that finance in general is going to be run? I mean, we have the S&P 500 right now, where it's essentially the Mag 7 And then the S&P 493 is essentially flat and not really doing anything. And so these seven companies have just become so top heavy. More of these companies that have Bitcoin on the balance sheet, we already see Coinbase, Block, Tesla have Bitcoin on the balance sheet are going to start to infiltrate that S&P 500. So, I've had some recent conversations with some traditional financial guys who are looking at this and AI and saying, hey, if you use AI similar to what Michael Saylor is doing, like creating financial instruments to provide more value to your shareholders to increase that Bitcoin exposure, and then also like accepting Bitcoin, it seems like this is just a no-brainer where Bitcoin is going to take over the financial world as we know it pretty soon and create almost that free market. But on the flip side of things, we're also seeing a lot of Bitcoin companies who are not not rushing to go public as quickly. So I'm curious, as you know, with your experience with ego death and kind of the pull between going public or staying private and accumulating Bitcoin on the balance sheet, how are you looking at that, and how are you seeing these the financial world kind of revolutionized with Bitcoin?
Yeah, so again, we are so crazy early on mm-hmm. this. So if you had a regulatory framework that most people trusted, your regulatory framework, and inside that regulatory framework, you were collecting Bitcoin and balance sheet, but still pricing in US dollars, then that Bitcoin on your balance sheet would be subject eventually to that regulatory framework. If that regulatory framework was a control system that couldn't allow that free market, then that regulatory framework would sometime eventually capture your Bitcoin. Right? It would have to, just like gold has always been captured and then repriced. It would have to. So what I'm saying, the risk of people doing that inside a regulatory framework. Now you can do that. I own MicroStrategy. I think Michael Saylor is brilliant. But I certainly wouldn't do that for all of my investment. It's a tiny piece of my overall strategy, and I would rather self-custody and understand what's happening. Same thing is now true for each company that you're building. If you're building a Bitcoin-denominated business, and you're accruing more Bitcoin on your balance sheet each month, why do you need to go public?
Yeah, I mean, originally it was just to get access more capital, but it seems like if you have Bitcoin that lasts longer, it has that deflationary,
Capital. Yeah, the capital is exploding in value because it's true. It's a protocol.
This bull run, I think everybody should focus on getting their Bitcoin in self-custody and off exchanges. We all saw what happened last time with the huge blow-offs. We had Celsius, FTX, all of the big dogs blowing up. Well, this time, everybody's being smart and holding their Bitcoin in self-custody. This is why I'm going with the number one hardware wallet in the game. That's Trezor. You can go to trezor.io or the affiliate link below to get yours for 5% off using promo code GreenCandle5. Get your Bitcoin off exchanges in the easiest way possible. They are a trusted brand. They've been in the game the longest of any hardware wallets out there. So that's why I've partnered with them, making it the easiest for you to get your Bitcoin off exchanges and not have to worry about any counterparty risk. So do it today. Go to the affiliate link below. Use promo code GreenCandle5. Enough from me. Let's get back to the show.
Mm-hmm. And so you don't need any more money, right? You don't need so the only reason you would do it is exit to somebody else. But in time, you won't need to exit. You could actually add, you could provide dividends from that business that's driving that value. And this is exploding all around the world from the new operating system, which is Bitcoin, which destroys all of the other models. It's incompatible with the other models. And which is why when I said all money is an abstract trade between a concept for trade between us, then you don't need to convert it into a manipulated trade between us. to be able to have success in it. You keep it as an abstract trade between us, and prices fall against it forever.
So eventually all these prices are going to essentially decline with everything going around, and Bitcoin, obviously, with that deflationary. But I'm curious how you see this projecting out into the future as like Bitcoin gets adopted. I've had a conversation with Mark Moss, who kind of lined out Bitcoin on this 50-year cycle, where the first 10 years is, you know, kind of the plebs adopting, the second 10 years, which is what we're in right now, seeing those institutions adopt. The third 10 years is when we'll get governments, then we'll get medium of exchange, then we'll get unit of account. I'm curious how you see this timeline essentially playing out, if you see it similarly, or if you see it rapidly accelerating, or maybe taking a little bit longer.
First, I really love Mark, but I disagree with him on this because Bitcoin is, when you're saying something like this, what you're saying is, what does the average look like to everyone, right? Here's what this is. Here's what this is. Mm-hmm. There will be clubs coming in 30 years. There will be all of these meshed together. There'll be corporations that miss the boat that aren't corporations anymore because they'll get wiped out. The governments inside of what we're talking about in Bitcoin have to become smaller, because the productivity flows to society instead of getting siphoned out of society and making governments bigger. So all of these things mesh together in this crazy, unorthodox, chaotic transition. And the transition is looks different for every person measuring it. So how do I measure it? I measure it as Bitcoin is a protocol and prices are falling against it forever. And from that measure, I look for value in companies that are creating more value in the free market to be able to deliver abundance away from this control system. And because there's so much misunderstanding of this, there's a crazy amount of value to create to help people move over. And so my reflection of the world is a reflection of the world that I see every day. And it's so exciting. But would you measure me as a government, corporation, person? It's illogical. It's in the individual moving their time, essentially bending the future with their actions into the world that they see. And that's going to happen in any corporation or any government or any group of people. It's just a sum of the group of people with a mission to do something. And they all change too, as they come to understand what this looks like differently. And what makes me really positive about this is, what does the free market value? The free market values giving more value to other people. So you Brandon, in your website and in your podcast, that's exploding. It couldn't explode unless you were valuable to a whole bunch of other people. That's why you're having so much success, is exactly what that described. Why would that look like that? Because you understand, you're at the edge of this understanding and helping other people understand it. Even through our conversation right now, you're at the edge of the understanding of something that 99.9% of people don't understand. They're trapped in this other system. And as you give them more value, your value explodes. This is a renaissance. This is the most exciting time to be alive in the world, because you can learn something that's very different than what most people know. And you can apply your genius in helping people. And the more you help people, the better you do. It's just a reflection.
Yeah, it's hey, it's not just me, Jeff. It's all because of you. You coming on the show helping explain all these things is providing people so many values. I'm just curious, and I get to pick your brain for at least an hour. So I mean, I'm always thankful to interact with people like yourself. So thank you for the kind words. But you're talking a little bit about reimagining civilization. I guess to put it in short. Now, you know, we've talked a little bit about businesses, but I'm curious how you look at it as, you know, the individual. Is this more of the sovereign individual, so to speak, thesis kind of playing out in the background with Bitcoin?
Yeah, so it is. It is for sure. Here's a different way of saying this. You could look at a probability distribution of any single person, right? And so their past and all of the things that happened to them and everything else create the moment right now. Your past, everything that you've ever done, and my past intersects right now, and this is the only moment that matters, right? And from here, what we're doing right now, the future probabilities can change completely. This moment right now. What happens for most people? You can measure this. You can see people doing the exact same thing over and over and over. And even though they have a choice, infinite choices, to do something different, they don't believe it. And they fall into a trap and they keep on. And so their choices, they believe their choices, and their choices are true for them. And it reinforces. And you can see this in every single person you know. You can see it in yourself, and you can see the potential opportunities that are so much bigger than what, and every single person can access that, but they don't know they can access it because they look at their past and all the reasons that they believe there. And if you measured their potential probabilities, it would typically stay the same. And then you see some people that have the same past, and all of a sudden they make a different choice. They see something, they interact with somebody else that gives them a different idea, that everything changes. It's a 0-to-1 moment. And now they see infinite opportunities, and they create those infinite opportunities for other people, and they touch a whole bunch of other people. I'll use a simple example, a very simple example. BlackBerry Research in Motion, the phone, my past of that and using that, I would never use Apple, right? A couple of years before that, Steve Jobs has an idea of creating something totally different that would act totally different. But my perception of reality had a phone that my, and I believed my perception of reality until I put this in my, until I put the iPhone in my hands, and I changed in an instant. So my belief structure had this other path that would have looked the same forever. And somebody imposed a different belief structure and created value for me that I changed immediately. It's a tiny little example. So what creates an ability to create a different path of the future, right? That everybody is operating over here in their belief structure. And somebody creates a different belief structure that bends reality into different things. That is actually what the free market values. That's what is happening. And we don't think we change, but we change all the time.
This bull run, I'm looking for ways to stack Bitcoin in my sleep, and mining has always caught my eye. I've partnered with the guys over at Simple Mining to help you do just that. I don't recommend anything that I don't use personally, so I've got a machine up and running with them right this second. And they've even opened the facility up so anyone can go and visit. They manage over 15,000 machines for 500 clients, handling all of the maintenance and repairs so you don't have to. And for the Green Candle listeners, they're giving an exclusive offer: all the repairs for the first year for free. So if you've been thinking about mining, head on over to simplemining.io/greencandle to get this exclusive offer and learn about the potential tax benefits that you can get from mining with Simple Mining. All right, enough from me. Let's get back to the show.
Right. And then now, how do you yourself, from your bubble of your perceived reality, challenge that status quo, what you will naturally do over and over and over again and fall into the trap that'll reinforce back at you and say, could this be something different? Should I explore this? And if it is, it changes your all of your probable future. So that same thing is what I'm describing here is going on for each one of us in society. And our impact, our changes individually are manifesting in changes in other people individually, right? Through that process.
Now, this is, yeah, you always seem to blow my mind when you come on the pod, Jeff, because it's just, it's incredible. But, you know, as we're getting into, you know, I guess this reimagining where things are going and kind of taking that self-reflection of that and potentially more people kind of, you know, as you've described it to me privately, just everybody's a node, right? Just kind of working together to bring us to this new world in, you know, whether that looks more as the sovereign individual. And as we're seeing this technology and AI just increasing that, you know, efficiency of everywhere, you know, where do you see AI and Bitcoin colliding to a potential, I guess, like medium of exchange? Because I've heard a lot of people say that AI agents, they'll start transacting. This is how we'll get more efficiency and it'll essentially become the money of the internet. Do you see that as a way forward as well, where we're, you know, not only are people kind of looking in the mirror and acting as nodes, but also like in conjunction with AI, really becoming that ultimate force, I guess, so to speak?
Yeah, so I would say that I think there's broad confusion on that, and or maybe I'm wrong, right, on this, but the there's two different concepts here that are people are trying to marry, right? They're saying, okay, AI agents will use Bitcoin because Bitcoin's a better currency, and then the AI will be the driver of Bitcoin. I think that's just a construct from thinking through financial markets today and how financial markets work. And while some of that might be true, the bigger path is this: the AI agent is free. Prices fall to the marginal cost of production in a free market. And the marginal cost of production of the AI agent is free. A line of code creating other lines of code is zero. So it doesn't need in time Bitcoin. What Bitcoin measures is the productivity, because it can't be manipulated. Because Bitcoin can't be manipulated in 21 million units. It measures that productivity of it going to free, flowing to you. That's the difference.
Okay. So then we start to see the development of, you know, I think last time I had you on as well, we talked about how the current system is, I guess, you know, in conjunction, and we've been talking throughout this whole entire conversation on how this current system, the deflationary system that Bitcoin is in it with AI, how these worlds are essentially colliding. Last time you kind of described Bitcoin as being priced in the current dollars, how just early we are, saying that it was, you know, in the current system at $43 million per coin, basically with where we're going. Now we've seen so much more debt and the inflationary aspects of the fiat system just kind of run rampant, it seems, in this past like 6, 7, 8 months since the last time we spoke. How have you seen the development of the overall industry just be within this, I guess, first year in a quote unquote like pro crypto admin here from the Trump administration?
Yeah, I think there's so much confusion broadly. That's why how early. Now remember that 43 million Bitcoin per Bitcoin was priced in the currency as of today, right? When we talked about it. How much of that currency, that manipulation, or the asset value of everything within that system today, but it didn't capture the other side of that from that point all prices would fall forever, and that 43 million would be infinite, right? Infinite in purchasing power. So it's so easy to get into what it is in pieces of paper that are being manipulated and keep on pricing that. And it's really hard to stay in the mindset of the free market is the natural state of the free market. I don't say deflationary currency. I say the natural state of the free market, us trading together, is deflation, period. The more people operating in that world, the faster deflation, because we're all competing to provide more value to other people, and the output of us competing to provide more value to other people has to be deflation, because we only use the things that provide us more value. Mm-hmm. So if you had a currency that cannot be cheated, that just happens. It imposes what I just described. So all of these other things, all of these other constructs that people are getting caught up in and measuring what I just described is kind of the thing that we spend so much time on, that I understand it. I have empathy for people's kind of measuring from that, because it's how they're trying to merge these two ideas that are unmergeable into a reality that makes sense for them. Mm-hmm. But it's actually nonsense in the end. It's complete. And so I tune myself out of all of that. I just tune myself out of, I know if Bitcoin stays decentralized and secure, nothing else matters. It's repricing the world, and I'm living in the first global free market that ever existed. So what do I do in the first global free market that ever existed? I try to find companies and founders and provide as much value possible as I can. And as a reflection of that, other people win and I win.
Now, you use some phrasing there that is kind of curious. You say, if Bitcoin stays decentralized and secure, do you see like a potential? I mean, of course, when you know they're losing power, there's going to be some sort of attempts, right, to try to backfill, or you know, try to make sure that Bitcoin doesn't stay like that. Of course, we've got the classic FUD of the 51% attack, all of these different things. But do you think that there's any way possible that Bitcoin doesn't stay decentralized and secure?
If you believe it's an asset within the system, and most people believe it's an asset within the system, it will be an asset within the system and it'll get captured. It's you. We are the consensus mechanism. If we're running nodes, if we're spending in Bitcoin, if we're building on top of Bitcoin as a currency, then the consensus mechanism ensures and what's being built on top, the privacy and everything else and the layers that they're building on top ensures it stays decentralized and secure. So why I say if is so people can actually look in themselves in the mirror and say, which one do I want? Do I want the control system that's a surveillance state where I get rich and then it's taken from me? Or do I want a neutral monetary asset, a protocol that brings abundance to 8 billion people? Because the choice is stark. What would you do if you could, if in 16 years you couldn't kill Bitcoin?
Why would you ever hold generational wealth on a piece of paper? It doesn't make sense. You need a foolproof solution, and I've got it for you. You could get this as low as $25, and if you use promo code GreenCandle, you could get 10% off. Being around for 12 years, they've engineered the perfect and most easy to use solution. I've partnered with CryptoSteel to offer for you guys just that. It is the cheapest and most secure way to store your seed phrase. I don't know about you guys, but I don't have too many things where I think one ton is going to fall on this, but it could survive all of that and more. So go to CryptoSteel.com. You can use promo code GreenCandle. You can get 10% off your entire order if you go there today. So go ahead and protect your generational wealth and do it with CryptoSteel. All right, enough from me. Back to the show.
What would you do as a government? You try to co-opt it. And there would be tons of people happily jumping in to co-opt it with you, because they would be measuring it and price go up. So when I say it's you, it's me, it's you, it's every single person. And I say this all the time is we have agency in the world we want to create, and we can't, and when we say, what will the government do? What will this person do? Well, we operate on a system we know is unfair. We're actually giving away our agency and we're putting somebody else in charge of us.
Yeah. And it seems like we're not taking that independence aspect, or the, you know, that like we were kind of reverting back to the sovereign individual type of thesis where we're relying on somebody else and it seems like blaming somebody else. And it seems like that's what's kind of going on right now in the current system that we're in, is everybody's pointing it right, left, whoever, blaming all of these people for their problems instead of looking in the mirror. So it seems like there just needs to, not only for, you know, I mean, I think in the Bitcoin space, a lot of us have done that and, you know, to start to take that ownership. But what do you think has have to be the big psychological shift in order to get there? Is it just not only, you know, educating from like the podcast and other things like that? Or is there something that you, some sort of other shift that you think has to take place in order for us to start to take more ownership?
So it's a cognitive dissonance in us, right? That's really what it is. It's when our view of the world, we don't want to believe, like, so I'm going to use my own personal, I think I've used it on other podcasts before, but it was really hard to believe. So even though I know all of this was happening, I wrote a book on it, how it accelerate. One of the chapters was, or two of the chapters were on AI, where AI would be today. One of the chapters was us versus them. What would cause, why would we divide inside that system? And that would be a natural conclusion of what would happen over and over and again. So it laid out exactly what would happen. I wrote a book on this, and I found myself facing the same cognitive dissonance in understanding Bitcoin, right? For me, at first, it was a hedge against the system collapse, but I couldn't see that all of my actions from within the system were ensuring the system collapse. And in other words, I was still in the zero sum game, believing it was somebody else's fault. Speaking all over the world about Bitcoin while still in the zero sum game. And that was really hard for me to face. And because it was easy, would be way easier to believe, because what would a zero sum game look like? Me winning would have to have a counterparty somewhere else in the world losing from my winning. And so I wanted to tell myself that I was a successful entrepreneur or everything and what it looked like without looking at the counterparty in Africa or South America or Central America or a dictatorship that was caused by me winning. It was too hard to face on my own reality, right? That I could be a contributor to somebody else's pain. It would be easier to believe, oh, I have no agency over that system. I'm going to just close my eyes to it and keep on operating here and tell myself a nice bedtime story that I was helping the world because of my actions. Right? Way easier to believe that. It would match my view of myself. Only going through that hard knothole of realizing if I was inside a zero-sum game, and at the top of that zero-sum game, there had to be somebody on the other side. And understanding what would an infinite game look like, where the free market actually worked, you could only gain more value by contributing more value to other people, had me face the hard fact that I was part of the problem. And I had to go through that challenge and the cognitive dissonance of that challenge and face the fact that I had a choice to make. I could move all of my time into the new system, or I could stay and tell myself a lie. But that's what it's going to take for each one of us. And the more people that move themselves in the new system, and what I'm watching happen is my life is is changed so positively because of meeting people I wouldn't have met if I stayed with my time in the other system. And what I see today is a totally different representation than I would have never had a chance of seeing from the other viewpoint. My reality was mirroring back at itself because I wasn't wanting to face the fact that I was part of it. And so now what I see, the beautiful thing, all of the beautiful entrepreneurs, the people that are changing this, that are creating a future reality for everyone, it is so powerful. But I also realized that I wouldn't have seen it in the other world. And so when I look at other people still trapped in the other world, and I have empathy for them going through the same thing, their time telling themselves the same lie that I was telling myself, I can't do anything from this, it's those other people. Same exact lie. I understand why they do it, right? Because I see it in myself. I saw it in myself and I had to go through that. Now, why I'm totally just honest in sharing that is because until I saw it in myself, I didn't see it. It was a learning that I personally had to go through to get to the other side to change my version of reality, which then touches a whole bunch of other people and changes theirs.
That's beautiful. I think, you know, so it's essentially this new world would essentially, you know, unlocking the money, you know, as we say in Bitcoin, fix the money, fix the world, would essentially have everybody just attempting to provide more value for every single person or everybody that you touch, opposed to, you know, maybe the new world or the current world that we're in right now, that essentially, you know, we got to take shortcuts, you know, maybe, screw somebody over so you could, you know, maybe get one up on them, just kind of like fiat gains that you know, follow the money, follow the, or you find the incentives kind of aspect would essentially just be wiped out in the Bitcoin, in a hyper Bitcoinized world. Is that kind of what you're
describing? It completely wipes out. So I posted something on Nostr recently. I think you could come to Bitcoin from a higher consciousness energy that you could see there's something there that I need to understand and explore, or you raise your consciousness over time in Bitcoin, the longer you're in it. And that would be natural because you're operating in a truthful system. You're operating in an honest system. And so as you see more honesty and the more people around you that are operating from that, still people trying to cheat it, still people trying to take shortcuts and such. But as you move your time to more of the people who are honest, it just reflects back at you. And you see it everywhere. And you see, yes, there's a whole bunch of people still going through this. There's a whole bunch of people trying to consolidate, cheat it, shit coins, nonsense. And you just forget those people. You do you, right? And you aggregate your life around people who are honest, hardworking, trying to create value for others. And you and your life gets better as a result.
Nothing stops this train, right? It seems
nothing
like
nothing stops this train.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, we've got a big, exciting time, it seems like, ahead of us. So what's something that you're really looking forward to as we're coming to the last quarter of this year and potentially, you know, next year, as we're, you know, it seems like just Bitcoin, everybody's rapidly adopting and things, events all over the world are getting bigger and bigger. More people are coming online. So what's something that you're looking forward to here in the next few months to a year?
It's just more of this. Like, I can't believe I get to do what I get to do with people I get to do it with. I just literally can't believe it. I pinch myself every day that just by learning, by the curiosity to understand something that was outside of my understanding and deep dive onto this, that now I can impact and help people at that type of level as they go through their own process. Every day I wake up and I just go, wow, like what a time to be alive. Like what a crazy, wild and just crazy time as we transition to this. And the people I get to meet every day that are taking their own steps through this. It's just crazy.
Yeah, 100%. Jeff, you're a legend. Where can people find out more about what the great work that you're doing and everything that you got going on?
Two things. JeffBooth.ca. If you're looking for, don't follow me on any social media unless you've gone to JeffBooth.ca and making sure that that social media is an accurate reflection of me. I will never ask for money. I will never ask for I'll never shill a shit coin. Right? I'll never if somebody is asking you for that, it's not me. I'm not on Instagram. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on any of these things. But there's lots of versions of me trying to suck your money out that are on those. And then if your company inside this space looking for capital, wanting to, then it'd be Jeff@egodeathcapital.capital.
All right, I'll put all that in the show notes. Jeff's a legend of the space. Thank you so much for always coming on and sharing your wisdom, man. My mind always gets blown, and I'm excited for the next time we see each other in person.
Me too, Brandon. Really look forward to it.